Please remain standing if possible. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 6. And the bulletin says through verse 21, but we'll stop at verse 13 for right now. So people of God, this is the word of your God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn it in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, less as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray together. Great God, we pray that you open our eyes to see wonderful things concerning you from this passage today. For us, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning we are happy to welcome to our pulpit Pastor Renan Pereira. That's a shortened version of his whole name. As any good Brazilian, he has several last names. So we're going to call him just Pastor Renan Pereira. He's a pastor of Primeira or Segunda? Segunda Igreja Presbiteriana de Linhares, so the second Presbyterian Church of a city called Linhares in the state of Espírito Santo, which translated into English means the state of Holy Spirit. So that's where he is from. He's visiting with us. He leaves on Tuesday. His wife Tatiana and daughter Valentina are with us as well. And he's been willing to preach for us here today. So brother, if you come. And we're going to have a bit of a two-headed monstrosity up here, because I'll stay up here and translate for him.
Que a graça e a paz do Senhor esteja com toda a igreja.
The grace and the peace of God be with all the church. Just telling him the time limit. I love you people.
Nós gostaríamos de meditar nessa manhã.
We'd like to think about this morning.
Buscando responder a uma pergunta.
Seeking to answer a particular question.
Qual é o perigo de ultrapassar o que está escrito?
What is the danger of going beyond what's written?
Eu me lembro que em 2004,
I remember that in 2004,
estava conversando com um pastor bastante experiente em São Paulo.
I was talking to a pastor that had a lot of experience in the city of São Paulo.
E ele me contava do medo, do receio, do temor que ele tinha muitas vezes como pastor dos homens.
And he told me how often he was fearful, he was timorous of men, the fear of men as he pastored men.
E ele dizia para mim que a forma que ele encontrava
And he told me that the way that he found
para superar essa dificuldade
to overcome this difficulty, this struggle
era se esconder atrás da Bíblia.
Was to hide himself behind the Bible.
Ele preferia apenas dizer o que estava escrito.
He preferred he rather just say what was written.
E fazer o que estava escrito.
And do what was written.
Dizer sempre a verdade. E tão somente a verdade.
Always just saying the truth and only the truth.
Parece que essa história
It seems like that this story
nos faz Então, pensar em duas coisas.
And it helps us to think about two things.
É mais fácil dizer Deus não proíbe.
It's easier to say God doesn't forbid.
E é mais difícil dizer o que Deus ensinou, eu faço.
So it's easier to say God forbids this, but it's harder to say what God taught, I will do.
Por isso Jesus, ele sempre se preocupou com aquilo que era ensinado à igreja para que a igreja então pudesse fazer o que está escrito.
So that's why Jesus was always concerned about what was taught to the church, so that the church could do what was written.
Parece que os luteranos, com todo respeito a eles, esqueceram um pouco disso.
It seems like brethren like the Lutherans, with all due respect, have forgotten that.
Porque eles estavam sempre dizendo, se Deus não proíbe, é permitido.
Because they were always saying, if God hasn't forbidden, then you can just go ahead and do it.
Nós calvinistas falamos o contrário.
We Calvinists,
o que Deus fala, nós fazemos.
We Calvinists say the opposite. What we only do what God commands us to do.
Eva e a serpente.
Even the serpent.
Diálogo que ultrapassou o que estava escrito.
It's an example there of a dialogue, of a conversation that went beyond what was written.
Gênesis, no capítulo 3, mostra a serpente procurando Eva para uma conversa.
In Genesis 3, we have the serpent looking for Eve to have a dialogue, a conversation.
Nessa conversa, a serpente disse, Deus disse que de nada do jardim poderia ser pego para comer.
And in that conversation, God said to Eve, you cannot eat of anything from the garden. Nothing can be eaten in the garden.
Parece que estavam na Coreia do Norte.
As if they were in North Korea, they couldn't eat anything. It's not on his notes, that one.
Obrigado. E nessa conversa, Eva respondeu à serpente.
And in this conversation, Eve answered, responded to the serpent.
No. Excuse me. Não.
No. Sorry, this is going to be confusing here. We'll edit those things out later. So the serpent said, no, Eve said, no, that's not what God said.
Deus disse que não pode comer e nem tocar.
No. God said that you can't eat, not even touch.
Deus não disse que não deveria tocar.
But there's no record of God ever saying that you couldn't touch.
E você me pergunta então na sua mente.
So ask in your minds.
Não era um zelo?
Wasn't it a zeal in Eve's part?
Ninguém deve ter o zelo que Deus não tem.
But nobody should have the zeal that God doesn't have.
Porque não é zelo.
Because that's not really godly zeal.
Deus disse, não coma.
God just said, don't eat.
Apenas não coma.
Only don't eat.
Mas eles acrescentaram o que Deus estava ensinando.
But they added to what God was teaching.
Da mesma forma foi Abraão e Sara.
The same way was Abraham and Sarah.
Gênesis capítulo 15, Deus diz para Abraão que vai dar um filho a ele. E a Bíblia diz que ali, no versículo 6, do capítulo 15, que isso lhe foi imputado para a justiça. Eu creio nessa promessa.
In Genesis 15, God says, I'm going to give you, Abraham, a son. And in chapter 15, verse 6, says that belief in that promise was imputed to Abraham for his justification.
Mas apareceu Hagar.
But then Hagar shows up.
E Hagar era a solução vinda de Deus, segundo o pensamento de Sara.
And Sarah thought that Hagar was the answer to God's promises, but just in her mind.
E ela disse, por meio dela eu me edificarei com filhos.
And through her, Sarah thought, I'm going to be built up through children.
Qual o detalhe?
What's the missing detail?
Deus prometeu dar um filho a Abraão.
God promised to give a son to Abraham.
Mas o texto não diz que era com a esposa dele. Pode traduzir isso, não se preocupe não.
Sounds heretical, so I'll translate anyway. But the text didn't say anything about giving Abraham a child of a promise with his wife.
Não diz literalmente, palavra por palavra.
It's not literally there in the text saying you're going to have a child with Sarah in chapter 15 of Genesis.
Mas quem era casado com Abraão?
But who was married to Abraham?
Hagar ou Sara?
Hagar or Sarah?
A promessa então se cumpriria com quem? Com Hagar ou com Sara?
So if that's the case then, who would be the one through whom the promised child would come? Hagar or Sarah?
mas era uma interpretação possível.
But that was a possible interpretation in the literal text.
Pelo menos segundo a serpente.
At least according to the serpent, that was possible.
Jesus e Satanás no deserto.
Then we go move to the New Testament to Jesus and Satan in the wilderness.
E lá a disputa era para saber o significado da filiação.
And there the fight that's going on is to see what does it mean to be the son of God.
A pergunta sempre era: tu és o filho de Deus?
Satan's question was always, are you the son of God?
Ah, se tu és o filho de Deus, transforma pedras em pães.
So if you are the child of God, if you are the son of God, transform stones into bread.
E Deus não disse que ele tem todo o poder?
Didn't God say he has all the power to do whatever he wants?
Mas as escrituras não ensinam que o poder de Deus deve estar desassociado de seu caráter, de seu atributo.
But the scriptures teach that the power of God is not separated, disassociated from his character, from his attributes.
Pequeno detalhe.
A small detail.
Mas será que é pequeno detalhe?
But it's really a small detail. Is it really a small detail?
Parece que a batalha espiritual, então, ela se dá na interpretação das escrituras.
So, it seems like that this real spiritual battle is happening in the interpretation of the scriptures.
Satanás quer que nós ultrapassemos o que está escrito.
Satan wants us to go beyond what was written, what is written.
Seja para liberar,
either to free,
seja para mostrar que sou muito zeloso.
Or so either to the side of license or in the side of legalism.
Parece que Paulo também leu tudo isso que a gente acabou de aqui lembrar.
As we read 1 Corinthians 4, it seems like Paul also read all these things that we've been talking about here.
Em 1 Coríntios capítulo 4,
so in 1 Corinthians chapter 4,
versículo 6,
verse 6, Leo?
Yeah.
Says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other.
Paulo escreveu uma carta anterior a essa.
Paul had written a letter prior to 1 Corinthians.
E essa carta não foi bem recebida.
And that letter wasn't really well received by the church in Corinth.
E sabe o que mais me impressiona?
And you know what really surprises me the most?
Menos de 2 anos antes, ele era o pastor daquela igreja.
Less than 2 years ago, prior to this first letter, Paul was the pastor of that church.
Imagine uma igreja que fosse pastoreada pelo apóstolo Paulo. Você gostaria de estar nela?
Can you imagine a church pastored by the apostle Paul? Would you like to be a member of that church?
Pensamos logo que é a igreja mais perfeita do mundo.
We think that would be the most perfect church in the whole wide world.
Parece que esse não é o caso de Corinto.
But that doesn't seem to be the case with Corinth.
Efésios.
Ephesians. Ephesus.
E outras tantas que nós podemos ver que relatam problemas.
And all the other ones in the New Testament that we read about all their problems.
E Paulo, ele toca em vários assuntos. A carta não trata de um ponto específico.
And Paul really deals with several subjects in 1 Corinthians. There isn't a particular point that he's dealing with.
O que Paulo, ele provavelmente tem em mente.
Já disse.
O que ele tem em mente, então, é que a igreja, ela deveria, então, andar no que está escrito.
So, his whole point is this. If there is one point is this, that the church should be faithful to what is written. In all the different subjects that he's writing to, that the church should be faithful to what is written.
Por exemplo.
For example.
Na área da comunhão entre os irmãos.
In the area of the fellowship among the brethren.
Na área do relacionamento sexual ilícito.
In the area of illicit sexual relationships.
Na demanda entre os irmãos.
In the demanding relationships between brothers.
Na liberdade que o crente deve ter ou não.
In the liberty that a believer should have or not.
Com relação ao culto.
When he speaks regarding the worship service.
Com relação à doutrina da ressurreição.
He speaks concerning the resurrection of the body.
Todos esses são problemas que a igreja tinha na época.
These were all problems that the church had at the time.
E qual era, então, a solução do apóstolo Paulo?
And what was the solution that Paul suggested?
Volte ao que está escrito.
Go back to what's written.
É assim que a igreja deve andar.
That's how the church should walk.
E ele disse aqui no versículo 6.
So he says here in verse 6,
que ele já disse isso outra vez.
He already had said that before.
Não ultrapasse o que está escrito.
Don't go beyond what's written.
Paulo, ele viu isso no Antigo Testamento.
He saw that in the Old Testament.
Deuteronômio, capítulo 12, versículo 32.
In Deuteronomy 14, 32.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 14:32 says, não tem 14:32. 14:32. Sorry. I don't know how I'm going to translate that one. It's not there. So in Deuteronomy 12:32 it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it.
Não acrescente nem diminua.
Don't add, don't take away.
2 João 1:8.
In 2 John verse 8. 2 John verse 8, it says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward.
1:8, 1:9, aliás.
Wrong verse. Verse 9.
Desculpa.
Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
2 Thessalonians 2:15.
Yeah. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:15. All these add up to the fact that we are not to take away or to add. So 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Agora voltemos ao Antigo Testamento. Levíticos 20:7-8, Deuteronômio 29, depois 9.
And then in Leviticus 20:7-8, we have the same instruction in the Old Testament. And then in the famous verse in Deuteronomy 29, verse 9, we are to keep whatever the words of this covenant that were given to them, not to add or to remove. And then in 1 Samuel 15, verse 25, where Samuel is going to ordain or seeking out David. In 1 Samuel 15, 25, it says, now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord.
No, not I.
25. Okay, let's try this one. 26, but Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and he tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. For he is not a man that he should relent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. And then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among your women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned to Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel.
Eu quero que vocês observem, depois de todas essas leituras,
I want you to see, after all these readings,
que Paulo, ele não estava falando qualquer novidade.
That in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul wasn't addressing anything new.
Que a vontade de Deus sempre foi que o povo não fosse criativo com as escrituras.
So when Paul says don't go beyond what's written, he's saying that God's will has always been that the people of God not be creative.
Ele sempre Ele sempre quis que as pessoas elas observassem o que está escrito.
God always has wanted people, his people, to observe what's written.
Quando nós acrescentamos ao que está escrito,
when we add to what's written,
nós estamos dizendo que o conhecimento de Deus, a mente de Deus, não alcançou certas coisas.
When we add to what's written, we're saying that the mind of God, the knowledge of God, hasn't reached certain areas.
E quando nós tiramos o que está escrito,
and when we subtract from what's written,
nós estamos dizendo que podemos substituir aquilo com algo melhor.
We're saying that we can replace what God said with something better.
Por isso que Jesus disse no capítulo 7 de Marcos,
and that's why Jesus said in chapter 7 of Mark,
que eles estavam sendo criativos com as suas tradições.
That they were being creative with their traditions,
e dando jeitinhos, ele usa até essa expressão aqui, jeitinho, sendo jeitosos com a palavra de Deus.
And they were, in essence, working out the word of God for their own benefit. That's what jeitinho means. It's a Brazilian way of saying that you can't talk your way out of anything you have to do, or you get stopped by a cop and you can kind of talk your way out from getting a ticket, or you know, that kind of stuff. So they're using that same approach to the word of God to make it bend so that it would say whatever it is that they wanted to say.
Então ele diz aqui no final do versículo 9, não precisa.
So he says there at the end of Mark 7:9,
que jeitosamente eles rejeitam os preceitos de Deus para guardarem as suas próprias tradições.
So that with this attitude of trying to manipulate things so that it's their way, they reject the word of God in favor of their traditions.
Por isso o apóstolo Paulo, voltando ao versículo 6.
And that's why back to 1 Corinthians 4:6, the apostle Paul,
ele diz: não ultrapasse o que está escrito para que vocês não sejam ensoberbecidos.
Don't go beyond what's written so that you may not be proud people.
E nessa de se ensoberbecer,
In this way of making yourself proud of yourself,
vocês acabam então brigando uns com os outros.
If you do that, you're going to end up fighting with one another.
Ora, o ensoberbecido, ele não tolera mais ninguém que não seja ele mesmo.
The proud doesn't really tolerate anybody but himself.
É como um copo.
It's just like a cup.
Ele só cabe 200 ml.
Only fits 200 milliliters, which for you Americans means absolutely nothing.
Só cabe isso.
Only fits 8 ounces.
Mas o ensoberbecido, ele se acha que pode mais do que 200 ml.
But the proud is like the 8 ounce cup that thinks it can hold a gallon.
Então enche.
So just keep on filling him up.
De si mesmo.
And he keeps filling himself up of himself.
Ah, então quem é que pode ser melhor do que ele?
So who can be better than he?
Ah, eu sou suficiente para
mim. I'm sufficient for all things.
Por isso, ultrapassar o que está escrito causa soberba.
And that's why going beyond what is written causes pride.
Eu sento no trono de Deus.
Because at that point we place ourselves on the throne of God.
E digo, isso é verdade, isso é mentira.
And we judge what is true and what's a lie.
Isso é bom, isso é ruim.
And we say this is good and this is bad.
No.
No.
Ultrapassar o que está escrito causa soberba e briga entre os irmãos, é verdade.
Going beyond what's written causes pride and also dissension in the church, that's true.
Mas também,
but also,
ele se vangloria.
The proud guy glories in himself. Vainglory.
Ah, eu me sinto satisfeito em mim mesmo.
Oh, I'm satisfied with myself.
Eu me sinto rico por mim mesmo.
I feel rich.
Possuidor de bens.
I feel like I own all things.
Com poder de governar.
I have the power to govern.
Glórias a mim, porque eu tenho motivos para me gloriar.
So everybody, please praise me, for I have all the reason that you should glorify me.
Esse é a vanglória.
That's the pride, the vainglory that comes from going beyond what's written.
Paulo, a partir do versículo 9,
starting in verse 9 of chapter 4, 1 Corinthians,
começa a ironizar os coríntios.
He is using irony in talking to the Corinthians.
Vocês não ligam para o que está escrito, vocês andam segundo as suas próprias cabeças.
He says, you don't care about what's written, you just go according to what's in your mind.
Leia então o versículo 9.
It says in verse
11,
9,
12 e 13.
It says, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, lest as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now.
Aqui Paulo está ironizando.
Here Paul is using irony.
Ele está dizendo no versículo 10, vós sábios em Cristo, ainda que sejamos loucos.
You are wise in Christ, even if we are crazy.
É um contraponto ao fato deles dizerem que são fartos de sabedoria.
So Paul is just going along with their presupposition that they are great in their wisdom, that they are great in their riches, and Paul says, sure, I'm an apostle and I'm the least of all people, but you are great.
Okay. Eles disseram lá que são fortes, né, poderosos para governar. Paulo fala, diz que eles estão fortes mesmo.
Yeah. And so Paul, yes, you're great.
Vocês falam que são ricos e podem tudo porque são ricos.
Paul says, you say you can do all things because you're rich. That's what where your power is.
Agora eu, porque vivo somente nas escrituras.
And Paul says, but me who don't go beyond what's written.
Passo fome.
I'm hungry.
Sede.
I go without drink.
Nudez.
Don't have what to wear.
Somos esbofeteados.
We're hit. We're mistreated.
Ora, realmente Paulo passou tudo isso para que pudesse o evangelho chegar até eles, e tão somente o evangelho.
And that's true. Paul went through all of that so that the gospel could reach the Corinthians, and only the gospel, nothing else.
E agora eles estão se vangloriando daquilo que era algo do passado deles.
And now they're glorying something that was part of their past prior to the gospel.
Então, Paulo está criticando o fato deles estarem abandonando somente o evangelho e indo para suas vanglórias anteriores, para o ensoberbecimento anterior.
So Paul is saying that when you're glorying yourself, when you're going beyond what is written, when you're thinking that you're the best thing in the world, you're actually abandoning the gospel and going to something that was true of you prior to belief in the gospel, to something that's not as good as the gospel.
Ultrapassar o que está escrito também gera uma terceira coisa.
But going beyond what's written also generates a third fruit.
Além do ensoberbecimento que divide.
Besides the pride that divides.
Além do ensoberbecimento que se vangloria.
Besides the pride that brings vainglory to yourself.
O ensoberbecimento que é gerado pelo ultrapassar as escrituras também gera a vara do Senhor.
And the going beyond the scriptures that creates pride also brings upon us, literally translating the rod of the Lord, the punishment or discipline of the Lord upon his people.
A partir do versículo 14,
from verse 14 on,
se por um lado eles aparentemente ganham coisas boas quando acham que estão ensoberbecidos e vangloriados, né?
From one perspective, they are gaining good things, they think, because they are getting rich and they are glorying themselves.
Começa então Paulo a mostrar que não é tão bom assim.
Paul now, verse 14, starts to show that that's not really a good thing.
E Paulo então vai dizer que admoesta aqueles irmãos.
So Paul then admonishes those brothers.
Não para que eles passassem vergonha.
Not to shame them.
Porque uma pessoa que verdadeiramente anda nas escrituras não se sente envergonhado quando é repreendido.
Because a person who actually walks in the word of God
is not
embarrassed when it's admonished from the scriptures.
Ele se sente como um filho. Ele se sente como um filho repreendido por Deus.
That person, when he's confronted with the scriptures, doesn't feel ashamed. He feels like a son that has been confronted by the father from the Lord.
Mas parece que não era o caso dos Coríntios.
But that's not the case in Corinth.
A partir do versículo 18.
From verse 18 on.
Ele relata que alguns se soberbeceram e acharam até que ele não deveria ir lá.
He said that some were puffed up and even thought that he shouldn't come. He shouldn't come there to Corinth.
E Paulo diz então a partir do versículo 20. Aí leio 20 e 21.
So Paul says in verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?
Ora, o poder de Deus com a chegada lá, com a chegada dele lá, vai operar com a disciplina no meio deles.
So when Paul comes, the power of God through Paul is going to work itself out in the discipline of the Lord upon them.
Porque ele pergunta, que preferis?
So he asks, what do you prefer, Paul?
Vocês querem a vara?
Do you want the rod of God?
Ou um espírito de mansidão?
Or the spirit of blessing and gentleness from God?
Ele estava fazendo uma pergunta retórica.
It was a rhetorical question. I forgot what syllable should the emphasis be. Sorry, yes, a rhetorical question. Thank you, Natasha.
Agora eu me perdi um pouquinho, mas tudo bem. Não, não. Então, na verdade, essa pergunta retórica...
Really, this rhetorical question...
mostra que, na verdade, ele vai para lá para disciplinar aqueles irmãos.
Paul is going to Corinth to discipline those brothers.
Porque ele voltou a Corinto.
Because he went back to Corinth.
Mas ele foi tocado para fora.
But he was kicked out from Corinth.
Não gostaram dessa visita do apóstolo
Paulo. They didn't
Paulo.
Like this visit from the apostle Paul.
Essa visita foi dura demais.
It was too hard for them.
E depois ele mandou mais uma carta.
And then he sent another letter.
E ele foi duro de novo.
And he was hard with them again.
E depois ele enviou mais uma quarta carta.
And then there was a fourth letter by Paul,
que é a nossa segunda carta.
Which we call 2 Corinthians.
E lá ele diz que está precisando realmente ser firme com aqueles irmãos.
And again, in 2 Corinthians, I need to be firm with you.
Porque eles continuavam a resolver ou a criar os seus problemas porque ultrapassavam as escrituras.
Because they continue to try to solve their problems and to create their problems by going beyond what the Bible said.
Por exemplo.
For example.
Ele vai tratar no capítulo 5.
In chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians.
Sobre um rapaz que tomou a esposa do pai dele.
So in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, he deals with the issue of this guy who was sleeping with his father's wife.
Ora, a lei do Senhor.
The law of God
diz que um homem não pode casar com a esposa do seu pai porque é casar com a mãe.
The word of God already said, the law of God already said that a man cannot marry his father's wife because it's tantamount to marrying your mother.
E a pergunta é, por que vocês ainda não expulsaram esse do meio de vós? O apóstolo Paulo não seria um pastor popular hoje.
The apostle Paul would not be a popular pastor today.
Não teria muitos amigos.
He wouldn't have a lot of friends.
Porque preferia o que estava escrito, mesmo que isso fosse mais difícil.
He preferred what was written, even if that was harder.
Paulo, quando ele estava se despedindo dos Efésios,
when Paul is saying bye to the Ephesians,
ele chamou os presbíteros da igreja em Mileto.
He called the elders from Ephesus to come to Miletus.
E disse, porque jamais deixei de vos anunciar todo o desígnio de Deus.
And the message he had for them is that I have never ceased to preach to you the full counsel of God.
Vocês viram aqui que o apóstolo Paulo mostrou que os problemas da igreja surgiam de ultrapassar o que estava escrito.
You've seen this morning that in 1 Corinthians 4, the problems of the church didn't come from obedience to God, but came from going beyond what the scriptures taught.
A solução para isso era sempre pregar o que estava escrito.
So Paul's solution for that is to always preach what is written.
Agora, qual é o principal problema, ou o problema número um de ultrapassar o que está escrito, acima de tudo isso que eu já disse aqui?
But what is really the number one problem, the number one issue with going beyond the scripture? But more than anything else that's been said this morning, what is the number one most serious problem with going beyond what the Bible says?
Qual o perigo de se ultrapassar o que estava escrito?
So what is it? What is the danger of going beyond what is written?
Qual o perigo de ser criativo com Deus?
What is the danger of being creative with the word of God, with God himself?
Não só com culto.
Just, not just with the worship service.
Não só como dirige o carro.
Not just how you drive your car.
Mas em tudo na vida.
In all of life, what's the danger of going beyond what's written in all of life?
Imagine.
Think about this.
Eu descrevendo o pastor Tito. Fala.
Imagine me describing Pastor Tito.
Pastor Tito small. Pequeno.
Pastor Tito is small.
É loiro.
Blonde.
Com cabelo na cintura.
With locks that go down to his waist.
Creia nisso.
Believe in that.
A sua vida depende disso.
Your life depends on
Pastor Tito
that.
É pequeno.
Pastor Tito is small.
Pastor Tito é loiro com cabelo grande.
Pastor Tito is blonde with long hair.
Creia nisso.
Believe in that.
A sua vida depende disso.
Your life depends on it.
Eu estou falando dele mesmo?
Am I really talking about him?
Imagine eu pregar Jesus Cristo ultrapassando o que está nas Escrituras. Será que é Jesus Cristo?
So imagine preaching Christ in the way that goes beyond the Scriptures. Is that Jesus Christ?
Tá vendo? A soberba precede a ruína.
Do you see how pride precedes the fall?
Deus resiste aos soberbos e dá graça aos humildes.
God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble.
Se ultrapassar o que está escrito gera soberba,
if going beyond what's written creates pride,
quando nós pregamos o nosso próprio Cristo, que não está nas Escrituras,
when we preach our own Christ, it's not in the Bible.
Quando nós falamos que a igreja deve existir de uma forma que a Bíblia não fala como ela deve existir.
When we say that the church should exist in a way that the Bible doesn't teach it should exist.
Se nós praticamos uma vida que não está de acordo com o Cristo que está nas Escrituras.
If we live a life that's not in accordance with the Christ that's in the Bible.
O perigo número um.
The number one danger.
É achar que nós estamos indo para o céu quando estamos indo para o inferno. Porque nós não conhecemos Cristo. Porque nós não conhecemos o Cristo. Nós não estamos na verdadeira igreja. Porque nós ultrapassamos o que está escrito ou estamos aquém do que está escrito. Por isso, Salmo 119, versículo 4.
That's why Psalm 119, verse 4 says, you ordained your commandments, and I'm going to follow them to the T. That's my translation of what he said.
Deus disse que nós deveríamos cumprir à risca.
God says that we should be precise in our obedience to his word.
Isso quer dizer que nós devemos nos concentrar no que está escrito.
So that means that we should focus on what is written.
João 1, 1.
John 1, 1.
Diz o quê?
Says what? Go ahead, just like I said, John 1, 1. In the beginning, and the word was God.
Eu não consigo compreender como é que crentes rejeitam a palavra de Deus.
I cannot fathom how believers reject the word of God.
E dizem, é lei.
And say, that's too legalistic.
Quem disse que a lei é má?
Who said that the law of God is bad?
A lei não é má.
The law is not bad.
Nós somos maus.
We are sinners. We are bad.
Para os crentes que têm o Espírito Santo,
for the believers who have the Holy Spirit,
a lei de Deus, ela restaura a alma.
The law of God, for the believers who have the Holy Spirit, the law of God actually restores the soul. Strengthens
the soul.
O
Salmo 19 diz o quê?
Remember what Psalm 19 says concerning the law of God, the second half of Psalm 19.
A lei do Senhor é perfeita.
The law of God is perfect.
E restaura a alma.
And restores the soul.
Restaura a alma.
Yes, restores the soul.
Para nós é vida.
So the law of God is life.
Pelo Espírito.
Through the Spirit.
Sem o Espírito é condenação.
But without the Spirit, the only thing the law does is condemn us.
Mas com o Espírito é vida.
But with the Spirit, it's life.
É alegria no Espírito.
It is happiness.
É o prazer de conhecer o verdadeiro Deus.
It's the pleasure of knowing the true God.
Ultrapassar o que está escrito nos mostra outro Deus.
But when we go beyond what's written, we see another God, not the God of the Bible.
Está aquém do que está escrito.
It's less than what is written.
nos faz ignorantes do verdadeiro Deus.
When we go beyond what's written, actually makes us ignorant of the real God.
Eu quero deixar as últimas palavras do apóstolo Paulo aos Efésios, aos presbíteros de Éfeso, também para vocês.
I want to leave as my last words to you the same words that Paul left to the Ephesian elders.
Que vocês não ultrapassem o que está escrito.
Don't go beyond what's written.
Porque já, ele disse, jamais deixei.
Because Paul says, I've never ceased
de anunciar
never ceased to preach
a vocês
to you
todo o desígnio de Deus.
The whole counsel of God.
Que Deus abençoe esta igreja.
That God bless this church.
Amém.
Amen. So, anything that didn't make sense is my fault. Everything that was good was his. So let's keep that in mind. So we'll pray. Father, thank you for the preaching of your word. We pray that we would be faithful to it and that we would not go beyond what's written. For us, in Jesus' name, amen.